Yes, devotees, so we are now coming to the end of our Baldur's Day Blackton Ridge Retreat 2015. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes a very important point in his song, in one of his songs, Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. Madhavatiti means the special occasions, really. The special events, special occasions connected with Madhava. So this can include a festival like Janmashtami's coming up in a few days, Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. It can include just any type of special event where we get to particularly focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, on the devotees, on the process of devotional service. So a festival, even just the Sunday program, some seminar, some retreat like this, these are all in the broad category of Madhavatiti, special occasions connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, Madhavatiti, Bhakati Janani. Janani means the mother. Janani, the one who gives birth. So, Bhakti Janani, these special occasions where one really focuses in special ways on Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness and the devotees and so many different aspects of Krishna consciousness. These are, he says, Bhakti Janani, these are the mothers of our bhakti, the mothers of our devotional moods and just our devotional consciousness. And the mother, in a sense, the mother has two particular functions that I think we may have mentioned the other day. Anyway, the mother gives birth. Without the mother, even if there is a father, there cannot be birth. And then the mother, after the birth, the mother nourishes and protects. So like this, Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, these special occasions, Krishna conscious occasions, are so important because they really give birth to and they nourish and protect and really help us develop very nicely our Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, of course, if we just carry on in life and there are no special Krishna conscious occasions, but just every day we just get up and we just chant our rounds and so on and so forth, as best we're able, under the general circumstances of our lives, maybe working or whatever it may be, then of course we can also make progress. If we apply ourselves nicely, then we will make progress. So that's also very important and very nice. But these special Krishna conscious events are really They're very special, they're very powerful, very influential. And what we like to see is that devotees come in to an event like this in a certain condition, in Krishna consciousness, and then they participate and really become absorbed and involved in everything that's happening. But then at the end, when everything finishes and they come out back to, you know, the sort of general realm of their lives, what we really like to see is that the devotees have changed for the better. And it's not just, as they say, back to square one. Just back to the same usual old mode of existence that we were in previously. If we do apply ourselves very nicely to events like this and really make the most of them and take advantage of them in very Krishna conscious ways, then by the time we finish and walk out, then we should be able to see that we have changed, that we have benefited. There's been at least some transformation for the better. Because this is Krishna consciousness, actually. Krishna consciousness is not just a belief system, as many other religions are referred to and see themselves as being. That you just believe this, you believe that, and you just live like that. And it's just the beliefs. And there's really not a lot beyond just the beliefs, meaning there's not much in the way of development and real tangible and practical things happening in your life. So Krishna consciousness is a dynamic spiritual process as long as we apply ourselves to it nicely. We mentioned one of the other days that we have anarthas of different types. And for example, we have anarthas, we're prone to have anarthas of certain bad habits. And we mentioned how Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he says that if you just carry on in your regular life in Krishna consciousness, then these anarthas, like sort of lower level anarthas, they're not like deadly immediately, but they're more like bad habits and just lingering types of things. They'll be cleansed out in due course just by your ongoing engagement in Krishna consciousness. But the thing is that if we don't do that, and if we allow those bad habits to linger on, and particularly, of course, if somehow or other we encourage those bad habits, then little by little, even something insignificant as a bad habit, it can actually undermine your whole Krishna consciousness. It's possible. And even though you are trying to carry on in your devotional life, but this is now eating away at the foundation. So Krishna consciousness is a progressive process for personal spiritual development. And we should be able to look at ourselves from time to time. We should do a what you might call a transcendental stock take. You understand what I mean by that? Just an evaluation, detailed evaluation of where we are, and what we are right now, and what's there, what's not there in our Krishna consciousness, what is there which should not be there, what is not there that should be there. This type of personal evaluation we should do from time to time. Just really a little overview of where we're standing in Krishna consciousness. And the idea, or hopefully, the idea is that hopefully when we do that, we can then look back and see that, oh, actually, I made some progress. There was some positive development. And not that we then pat ourselves on the back and congratulate ourselves and sit back and relax, but it's encouraging. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we're encouraged to be humble, and it's important to be humble because, let's face it, devotees, if we're really honest and clear in our thinking about ourselves, we'll see we have a lot to be humble about. That's very helpful for developing humility. You don't have to just psych yourself up artificially and say that you're like this and like that, which may not really be true. You know, like you're defective in different ways, therefore you can be humble. But actually, because we've lived in Kali Yuga so long and we've been involved in so much nonsense in this lifetime and previous lifetimes also, therefore, there are many things within us which we can be humble about because they really are not so good. Yes, so in a sense, that's a little bit of good fortune, you could say. But the idea is that we should be able to evaluate ourselves objectively and not just in a mood of humility, just say, oh, I'm useless, I'm hopeless, I'm not making any progress. We might think sometimes that humility encourages that sort of idea. And humility, if humility is there, then you could not look at yourself and see that you've improved. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that if you're really humble. But no, Krishna consciousness is a very practical process for personal improvement. And we should be able to see. Hopefully there will be symptoms and signs and things developing within us so that we can say, actually, yes, some improvement has been there. Krishna consciousness is working. And not, like we said, not that we congratulate ourselves and pat ourselves on the back and say, you know, good work, you're doing great. But we can say that despite all my nonsense, the process of Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, and Krishna is so merciful, and Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, they're just so merciful that despite all my shortcomings, even I have been able to make progress by their mercy. Yeah. So, you know, when we come into an event like this in the beginning, we should try and have that attitude or that hope that I'm really going to absorb myself in this and really make the most of it and really gain from it. Like, you know, in an event like this, you get a lot of information, spiritual, scriptural information. So one should really try to take that in. Prabhupada said, you know what Prabhupada said? In Kali Yuga, good memory means write it down. Oh, it's true. You know, how many times have we read so many books? How many classes have we heard over the years? It may be thousands. And how much do we remember? It may not be that much. So yeah, good memory means write it down. So when we come in, we should be ready to really make the most of the information and that we're going to receive, and the kirtans really have that determination in mind. I'm going to get into the kirtans. And when there's service to be done, I'm going to really get into the service. And then it'll work. Madhavatiti Bhakati Janani. So I hope, you know, now you're all coming out of this. We're all coming out. I hope you're going to be able to look at yourselves and look back on it all and see that some development has been there, even if it's only maybe in a small way, but at least like you learnt some things you didn't know about. And now you're going to really try to internalize them, take them in, into you, make them part of you, and apply them in your lives. Like this. This is what these events are all about, actually. In a sense, this is what the whole process is about. But these events are special because there's just that concentrated, focused absorption in Krishna consciousness rather than just the everyday, ongoing, as usual type of program. Yeah, so we focused a little bit, you know, we didn't really have so much time. I actually just came from a festival in Russia. It started on the 21st. I had to leave on the 26th morning. It was still going on. Yeah. It wasn't just like two full days. But 21st it started. Yeah, in the evening on the 21st. Then 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th were full days. 5 full days. And a little bit at the beginning, and then also on the 7th day a little bit. Sometime in the future, if it's possible, if it's practical, we should try and do something like that. More concentrated, more focused, a bit longer. But anyway, we've tried to focus a little bit on Lord Balaram. I hope you learned something about Lord Balaram that you didn't know before. I mean, there were many things I wanted to mention, but I just got too caught up with Dainikasura and Tamagun. So there were 7 demons or 7 pastimes where Lord Balaram is most prominent. We only discussed one. And then there's some other events also where Balaram features in other literatures. But I hope you managed to learn something about Lord Balaram, because he's, you know, all these personalities, they're really personalities. They're real people. And, you know, they're such deep people. And Krishna consciousness is a personal process. Sometimes if someone says something bad to you, about you, someone else may say, don't take it personally. In Krishna consciousness, It's one of our mottos. Take it personally. Take everything personally. Take Krishna personally. Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness, sometimes we refer to Krishna consciousness as a process. And you know what a process means, the idea of a process. It's kind of, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, and it's kind of mechanical. Just do this, don't do that. There's that implication. It's easy to feel that it's kind of mechanical. But Srila Prabhupada said, you know what Srila Prabhupada said? Very interesting thing. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is the development of the most intimate and personal relationship disguised as a process. It may look like a process. You've got to get up, you've got to charge your rounds, you can't do certain things. It looks like a process. But actually what it is, it's not a process in that sense. It's the development of a personal relationship, of a number of personal relationships in the context of the main relationship, which is with Krishna. So, yeah, in order to develop a relationship with a person, in fact, you could say, before you can really develop a relationship with a person, you have to understand them. Or, you know, the relationship can really only develop as your understanding and appreciation of them develops. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just it's just impersonal, really. So therefore, we have to try to understand Krishna. Unlimited Krishna. I remember many, many years ago in the 70s when we were doing book distribution, actually I think it was 1973 even, traveling around the country with, do you know who Tribhongananda Prabhu is? Yeah? He was my first traveling Sankirtan leader, well second after Papa. In 1973. And Bhakti Vrajendranandan Swami, do you know him? He's from Malaysia, but he was part of the British Yatra. Anyway, we were all together in 1973. And every morning during prasadam, we'd listen to a class, a tape. I don't think you have tapes nowadays, too. But they were very odd in those days. So we'd listen to a class by Srila Prabhupada. And one morning, Srila Prabhupada was talking about how Krishna interacts with his devotees and, you know, how he's kind to his devotees and how the devotees are very wonderful and the relationship with Krishna is very wonderful. And Prabhupada said, just try to understand Krishna. And then, you know, you're on your way to perfecting your life. The very next morning, we played another tape of another class, and Srila Prabhupada was talking about the universal form, the process of creation, how sound evolves from ether, these rather complicated things. And Prabhupada said, don't try to understand Krishna. Don't try, because it's just too much for our little brains. But the thing is, it's a personal relationship first, and it's a process second, if it's a process at all. So we should try to cultivate an understanding of and appreciation of Krishna, and this is why we tried to look at, like Lord Balaram, certain aspects of his actual personality and character. There was one thing that I just sort of hardly touched on, but I wanted to just mention it. It's a really nice thing. That Balaram, he's known as the crest jewel of the intelligent. He really thinks of so many things, particularly of how is Krishna all right? What does Krishna need? He thinks like this. But there's a number of really nice pastimes in which this aspect of Balaram's nature is displayed prominently. One of them is in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I don't know how many of you may have read that book, but it's an amazing book. Available, it's a BBT book, big book. In the second part, Gopakumar means young cowherd boy. So Gopakumar, he goes back to Godhead, step by step, going first of all to a little higher situation on earth, then to a little higher planet, then a little further higher planet, etc., until he comes to Vaikuntha, and then he goes to Ayodhya, and then he goes to Dwarka, and then he goes to Vrindavan, Goloka, the spiritual world. And he arrives there. He arrives there in Goloka Vrindavan. It's kind of midday or very early afternoon. And first of all, he doesn't know, where am I? Am I really here? Is it possible that I've actually arrived in Goloka Vrindavan? Could it be? And there was one elderly man nearby, and he went and asked him, Sir, where am I? And the gentleman pointed to one house and said, this is the house of Sri Nandananda, of Krishna, and then just broke down into transcendental emotion. And Gopakumar understood, I'm here. I'm in Goloka Vrindavan. Somehow I've made it. And then he asked the people, where's Krishna? And they said, he's out herding the cows with the cowherd boys, but he'll be back soon. So then they all came out waiting for Krishna. And then they saw in the distance a cloud of dust being kicked up by the hooves of many, many cows. And it was moving in their direction. And they heard the sounds of laughing and joking and flute music. And everyone's really getting excited. And Gopakumar is there, although he just arrived. And then they see Krishna and all the cows and cowherd boys, but they see Krishna and they come forward, and Gopakumar comes forward, and Krishna sees Gopakumar, and Krishna just comes racing forward to embrace Gopakumar. And Gopakumar comes running forward, and they embrace in the middle, and they're just so ecstatic. And then Krishna becomes so overwhelmed, he faints on the ground and sort of slides out of Gopakumar's arms to the ground. Gopakumar gets down next to him, and he doesn't know what to do. He's just there. Krishna's unconscious, and all the bridge busies gather around, and they're just deeply, transcendentally disturbed. What happened to our Krishna? Who did this? And then someone notices Gopa Kumar, who just arrived, so they don't know who he is. And someone says, "Who's he?" And the next person says, "I don't know. I never saw him." And the word is going around. Who is this person actually? What's he doing here? And what's happened to Krishna? Was it him? Was it Gopa Kumar who caused this to happen to Krishna? And then someone, they're asking each other, who is he? Where did he come from? And someone says, maybe he was sent by Kamsa. So they all close in on Gopa Kumar, like, we're going to get you. And Gopa Kumar, from like the height of ecstasy, suddenly becomes distraught. I just arrived in Goloka Vrindavan and they're going to kill me. But then Lord Balaram, the crest jewel of the intelligent, seeing what's going on, Lord Balaram just steps through and he kneels down. Gopa Kumar's now on the ground right next to Krishna. Lord Balaram kneels down. He puts Krishna's head on the lap of Gopa Kumar. Then he takes Gopa Kumar's hand and makes his hand stroke Krishna's forehead. And then Gopa Kumar gets the idea, oh, okay, yeah, I should stroke his forehead. So now Gopa Kumar's stroking Krishna's forehead and his ear, just being very nice. And Krishna comes back to consciousness. And everyone's so ecstatic. Oh, our Krishna, his life has been saved. He hasn't died. How was he saved? Who saved him? And then they point to Gopa Kumar. It was him. He saved Krishna. He saved Krishna. And now they're all so, they just forget about Gopa Kumar possibly being involved in Krishna losing consciousness. Now they're just so happy. You saved Krishna. Oh, and they're all just embracing him and glorifying him. And they accept. In other words, Gopa Kumar becomes accepted in the Brijbasi society by the arrangement of Lord Balaram. Yeah, he's very amazing transcendental personality, Lord Balaram. So I hope your appreciation of Lord Balaram increased. Not that we're really trying to just become Balaram conscious, but we should become conscious of all these people in personal ways. And Krishna. Of course, Krishna, we should try to really understand, or at least increase our understanding of the personality of Godhead. Yeah. He's such an amazing personality. He's such a lovable person. There's a saying, I think it may have even been the title of a song in my youth, to know him is to love him. It just comes naturally. If you know him, you'll just love him because he's just so lovable. We, you know, of course, we are in a sense not so lovable like Krishna. Not really. Because we, let's face it, devotees, we are prone to be a bit selfish. What's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? And if I'm not going to get enough out of it, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do something else, which I'll get more out of. Whereas Krishna is more like, it's just all for you, the devotee. Just all for you. This is Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita, you know, unfortunately we didn't have time to go through all these things. Yeah, but in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, starting around, it's maybe verse 12, I think. Anyway, it's somewhere there. Krishna starts listing out different qualities of a devotee. If you're like this, if you're like this, if you're like this, different qualities, then you'll be very dear to me. And there's a whole sequence from, I think it's verse 12 or maybe 13 up to 20, where each verse is just saying, you know, if you're very humble, if you're not sort of greedy or whatever, you'll be very dear to me. So Srila Prabhupada, he gave a class on the first two of those verses. If I remember correctly, it's 13 and 14. You can look it up in folio if you've got Prabhupada's books on your computer. And Prabhupada, so there's all these different qualities mentioned in the first two verses. It's a class on the first two verses of that section. And Prabhupada says, yes, this is Krishna consciousness. How will Krishna love me? You know, we often think, how will I love Krishna? Because I'm prone to love so many other things. But now I must love Krishna. So how will I love Krishna? But really, that's the least of our problems. How to love Krishna. Because Krishna is lovable. He's just totally lovable. Including in the sense that he will just do anything for us. Even if we are just total rascals and even demoniac, but still he looks after us and provides everything for us and gives us, you know, even the just stupid things we want just because we want them. Krishna is so kind. Krishna is lovable. The problem is we are not so lovable because we're selfish. And sometimes we're even not just selfish, sometimes we're just downright nasty. Yeah. And sometimes we may be dishonest. And sometimes we may even feel that we dislike Krishna. Sometimes we may blame Krishna. That Krishna, come on, Krishna. I wanted another samosa, but she took it. Oh, Krishna, I thought you said you help your devotees. Wow, Krishna. But Krishna's an amazing person. The problem is we're not so lovable. Because we're attached, we have these deep-rooted bad qualities, and we're selfish, etc. But Krishna is truly lovable. The thing is, we have to learn. We have to come to understand him, to see that, oh yeah, it's true. He actually is like that. And then, you know, gradually we develop an appreciation of Krishna and we accept Krishna more as a person who is and should be the focal point of our lives. I had a very interesting experience a couple of months ago. Maybe right at the beginning of May. I explained about it in Facebook. If any of you follow my things on Facebook, you may have read it. I had this amazing experience with Krishna. What an experience. I had to fly from Tallinn, if you know where that is, Estonia. Yeah, not so far from here. From Tallinn to Vilnius, Lithuania. Through Riga, which is in between in Latvia. So hopping one flight to Riga, then almost immediately next flight to Lithuania. And then I had to meet a government official. It was important. I had an appointment at some time in the morning. So there I was at the airport, ready to go. Yes. Get my flight, get on the second flight, and get into the meeting. So there I was. And there were the people, but nothing was happening. The time, the theoretical time of the flight was approaching. Nothing was happening. And I thought, Krishna, now, what's going on, Krishna? Come on, look. You know, I got to get this flight. And the flight has to be on time. And finally, the time came. I think it may have been 6 in the morning. The time came, and nothing was happening. Nothing had happened. And an announcement was made, the flight is delayed. They said because of bad weather in Riga. And I thought, oh, Krishna. Oh, no. Come on, please. How am I going? I'm going to miss the second flight. And eventually, yeah, that was 6 o'clock. Eventually, we got on the plane at 7. And I was really thinking, oh, it's just not going to work. You know, what sort of plan is this, Krishna? I don't agree with your plan, Krishna. So then, okay, now we're flying to Riga. And they make an announcement. There is a security situation in Riga Airport. We cannot land there. And I thought, oh no, after all this, what are they going to do? Turn back to Tallinn? Go to Moscow? What is this? And I must admit, I was not so impressed with Krishna's management. And then just about 2 minutes later, they made another announcement that someone has telephoned the Riga airport and said, there is a bomb there, and therefore we cannot land, and we must go to another airport. And I thought, oh no, come on, please. And then they said, so therefore, we are going to Vilnius Airport. So we landed. So then I thought, oh, Krishna, I'm so sorry. I'm serious, actually. So we landed in Vilnius Airport, you know, pretty much on time. And I got to the appointment on time. And it really made me appreciate Krishna. You know, it's not that always everything works out as you think it should work out. Sometimes Krishna has another plan. Just a different plan. But generally, at least in the long run and maybe even immediately, but when Krishna makes these special plans, then there's something to be learned and there's some benefit from it. Yeah. Yeah. At least. And even, you know, in many cases, Krishna makes a clever workaround and things just work out. as you were expecting them to, even though it seemed like it was impossible. So, but we have to understand or develop an understanding and appreciation of Krishna. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then we may be impersonal. We may just be demanding. We may even become upset with Krishna, literally, if he doesn't do things in the way that we feel they should be done. But Krishna, one thing I've learned over, you know, quite a few years now in Krishna consciousness, is that Krishna is very intelligent. He's amazingly intelligent. And another thing I've learned, you know what? Another thing I've learned, Krishna is very creatively minded. He often makes arrangements which are very extraordinary and which you didn't expect, but they produce very wonderful results. I'll give you an example. The gopis wanted to marry Krishna. They really, 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 really wanted to marry Krishna, and they just had no interest in anyone else at all. And then they did the Katyayani Vrata. The Katyayani month is the month immediately after Kartik. The next month is the Katyayani. So they did the Katyayani Vrata for the whole month, praying to Katyayani, we want Krishna as our husband. That was all there was. They're just praying like that and worshipping Katyayani. And you probably know the story. On the final day of the month, they concluded their Katyayani puja and they were bathing in the Yamuna, having left their clothes sitting on the bank. And Krishna stole their clothes and went up into a nearby kadamba tree and relaxed in the kadamba tree and played his flute, and they looked up and they saw, wow, what happened to our clothes? What is going on? And then they looked up in the tree, there's Krishna, and there are their clothes. So like I say, I'm sure you know the story, at least basically. They asked Krishna, they told Krishna, they just told him, give us our clothes. And Krishna said, what clothes? Our clothes. And Krishna said, oh, these clothes. Oh, you can have these clothes. I don't wear saris. You can have them, no problem. Just take them. I won't stop you. And he relaxed. Anyway. It's a long story. But eventually they had to come out in front of Krishna with no clothes on. Which according to Vedic culture, a woman cannot appear without clothes in front of anyone except a husband. Yeah? So in this way, indirectly, in a very creatively minded, very tricky way, Krishna accepted them as his wives, which is what they wanted, but in a way they didn't expect. They were expecting perhaps the more traditional way, that the young gentleman kneels down and says, my dear young lady, would you be so kind and merciful to become my wife? Is that how they do it? Anyway. I must admit I'm out of touch. But they had something like that in mind, or maybe just their parents would work something out. They really didn't expect it to happen like that. At all. It never occurred to them that it might possibly happen like this, but Krishna's very creatively minded. And they understood that actually Krishna is accepting us. He has accepted us. Even though it's in this very unusual way, but actually he's accepted us. So afterwards, when the whole pastime was finished and the gopis left, the Bhagavatam describes they left singing the glories of Krishna. They did not leave thinking, you know, we got so embarrassed there. We're going to get him just way, Krishna. We are going to steal your clothes and we are just going to burn them. You know, they didn't think of revenge or something of that sort. They just were chanting the glories of Krishna because they understood, because they're very, very advanced devotees. So they were able to see that, actually this is Krishna's mercy, and not become bewildered by the surface level circumstances. Yeah. So anyway, this is why we tried to do this little, very, very short seminar on Balaram and Krishna, to help us to appreciate them more as persons. Not that we should become familiar like, yeah, I know Krishna, in that sense, but at least to appreciate in more personal terms the personality of Godhead. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
When is... I don't know what I should do. Should I just... What's the next phase of the... Oh, here he is.